Well, wait. see, the camera's back to where it ought to be. So
I just don't know what was wrong with that camera originally. What was he?
Congratulations to Mo Collins for an Emmy nomination for F is for Family. Mo, who plays the part of, a variety of characters. And, you know, her versatility on the show is pretty amazing. So, Mo, who you may remember, probably do, from Mad TV and a number of other shows. Parks and Recreation, I think. You know, knocks it out of the fucking park, man, with an Emmy nomination. F is for Family. Then Trevor Duvall, also on our show on F is for Family, he and his mates at Guardians of the Galaxy, I forget which category was, but they were also nominated for an Emmy. So it's a big time. We had a table read this morning, our very first for the third season, and that was great. That was a cool. Cool thing to witness, cool thing to watch, too. Cool thing to be a part of. Wave after wave. Let's see, I'm going to do a thing here where Steve Bozell is going to be teaching his daughter how to, what the fuck? Ding, ding, bing. Okay, cool. Right? Ah, fuck. We've got a Thousand Oaks boy in the semifinals of Wimbledon. Sam Querrey, I think, if I'm pronouncing this, I'm sorry, man. I just heard about you 3 days ago, 4 days, well, a week ago. He's 24th, I think, in the tournament, 24th seed. He's now made it to the semifinals. He defeated Andy Murray. He's a local boy, went to high school right over here in Thousand Oaks, T.O. Lives in San Francisco now, or Vegas, one of the two. And he is in the semifinals, man. So we're going to be watching that shit real careful because all of that kind of stuff is cool. I love that whole follow the, see if the local guy does good. Wimbledon's always fun. I like to watch Wimbledon. I don't watch tennis other than that. Other than that, I don't really. Hyperloop One nailed its first test run, history in the making. Hyperloop One successfully tested Hyperloop travel, get this, as it watched a sled swoosh inside a near vacuum tunnel at a maximum speed of 70 miles an hour. Now, is this space elevator? The company claims this is the first time anyone has conducted a fully realized test and promises to test a real pod capable of carrying people in the near future. Now, the other thing that was big, and I thought this was going to be about, there has been the transportation, I think, of a particle of matter. You know, like in Star Trek, the thing that they transport, get into the transporter and they take apart your molecules and put them back together again. The Chinese, I think, have successfully transported some form of matter. I probably have that, you know, fucked up slightly, but I think I'm essentially got it right. Oh, man. Drifting away, wave it. A near vacuum, history in the making. Hyperloop, 70 miles per hour, as in train, faster than planes. Hyperloop 1 successfully shot a test sled using magnetic levitation through a vacuum tube. Okay. Nailed its first test run. So, it's kind of space age, but nonetheless, you can see where the future will look like we probably think the future would look, and there would be these tubes running through the desert. Just every now and again, you see these tubes inside of which are, you know, vehicles of some kind. I wonder if I can actually show you guys. It's unmashable. What the fuck are you doing, man? The test run speed is small. Hyperloop 1 compared to the 700 miles per hour promised. That's what I just read on the thing, man. Let's see some fucking video in this motherfucker, huh?
A company with a vision to transport people at near supersonic speed is announcing what it calls an historic achievement. Hyperloop One is building what could be the next mode of high-speed transportation. Passengers will be loaded onto pods that will travel through a tube at 700 miles an hour. That is faster than the speed of a Boeing passenger jet. First on CBS This Morning, here's a look at the first private test of the Hyperloop. It took place in the Nevada deserts.
3, 2, 1, fire.
The company now says it has the first full-scale Hyperloop in the world. Hyperloop One's goal is to have 3 systems in service by 2021. Co-founders Josh Geigel and Shervin Peshavar are here. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Pretty exciting.
It was a high five a day over at your place.
That's the end of that. That's the end of that. They don't have no more. That's the end of that. Wave after wave. I feel like I'm drowning. Oh, man. Carl Yastrzemski, man. Oh, you can't see that. Don't give up. Don't let it make you weird. Don't give up. Don't do bad things. Come on, bitch. I'm going to try and straighten that fucking thing out once and for all. What's up there, Thundy? Thundy girl, you in from the inside now. Don't give up, don't do. What's up, Thunder? You going outside or not, man?
Wow. Spaniard wins in record time. Marathuba, or whatever her name is, the semi-finalist. So that's one of the finalists. Marathuba, is that her name? Maruthuba? Don't quote me, please. Oh, fuck. Teddy Baseball? What the hell am I doing here, man? I'm looking for what? Oh.
Don't give up. Don't let you down. Don't give up.
I thought there'd be some. There's Ron Darling. Ron Darling was a pitcher, right? He was 6 years old when that shit was happening, but. Well, it would take a Californian to excite the imaginations of baseball fans everywhere. That's right, Ted Williams, San Diego. And actually, Ted Williams from Orange County. He's from Santa Ana, something like that. Seriously, how about them apples? What the fuck happened to this fucking piece of shit? God. Now what happened to this fucking piece of shit? Goodbye. Do it, man. Come on, baby. Come on, reset, motherfucker. Reset, motherfucker. God damn it.
Hi. Excuse me.
Cool, man. All right, what we're going to do is do this one more time. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Tony Conigliaro. Is this when he got hit in the face? Tony Conigliaro got hit in the face by one of the Angel pitchers. I forget who. And he never really recovered from it, I don't think. And that was a really sad. He was going to be a major fucking ball player, a major hitter. Good Lord. This is before they had the real helmets that covered the whole side of your face. They just had helmets that covered the top of your head. Who gives a shit, you know? There's no brains in there anyway, right? Got to protect your eyes. Got to protect the those areas of the body. Yeah, it was an Angel pitcher. I forget who it was. Fractures his jaw. Yeah, it fucked up his face, man. So I don't think he did come back, but I don't think his vision in that eye was ever decent again, you know. I don't think he ever really had the... I'm probably putting... Is that Carl Yastrzemski? I bet you has or not, but... Red Sox Nation begins. Interesting. No? Okay, well...
Well, Red Sox is
a team that we've always loved in Boston, and the Red Sox, the team we've always loved.
Wait. Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, I was watching the All-Star game, and up comes Juan Marichal, who, you know, had great... I'll be honest with you. I got emotional. I started to cry. I must be my age. I must just be getting to be some fucking old man, because when I saw all of those Latin players that they brought out, all of those guys from my childhood, I mean, I'm telling you, fucking Luis Aparicio, Orlando Cepeda, fucking Roberto Clemente, and on and on and on. I welled up with tears. I'm not kidding. Maria was looking at me, and she was like, you know, laughing and sort of, you know, touched by it all and everything. But I said, I can't help it. I said, this is when I fell in love with baseball. All of these guys, you know, and who else? Juan Marichal. Marichal had that amazing big high kick that you don't see in pitching anymore. Players have learned to refine the wind up, I should say. And I get it. But it was a very powerful looking motion. And we used to hate the guts out of the Giants. And here comes Juan Marichal with this fucking kick. Anyway, the story is, I don't remember it, but I've certainly read about it since then. With Koufax on a mound, Juan Marichal at the plate, Johnny Roseboro behind the plate. Marichal had, according to Roseboro, and I think it was in the book I read a book by John Roseboro. Marichal had thrown at a few of the Dodgers during a game. Maybe it wasn't bad enough for the umpire to notice, I don't know what, but Roseboro was really hacked off. And when Marichal came to the plate, Roseboro knew well enough not to ask Sandy Koufax to throw at him, because he knew Koufax didn't throw at anybody. So when Roseboro got the ball after a pitch, and he threw it back to Koufax, he whizzed it right past fucking Marichal's nose on purpose, and Marichal turned with the fucking bat and went and just clobbered John Roseboro. And both benches emptied. It was a real fucking scene. Roseboro was hurt bad enough so there was blood covering one side of his face and covering one of the eyes. And Willie Mays had been in the warm-up circle. And according to Johnny Roseboro, Mays came over crying, saying, "Stay down, Johnny, he knocked your eye out of your head," you know. "Come on, Johnny, he knocked your eye out of your head, man. Stay, please, stay on it, you know. Don't get up, don't move around." Roseboro was still fucking pissed and was ready to start swinging on somebody. It probably didn't matter who by that point. That's one of the most famous of all of the Dodger-Giant brawls. And it was brought on by, according to John Roseboro, by Marichal throwing at the Dodgers in that game. But the only one that anybody remembers, really, and maybe it was really the only one that happened, I don't know, was Roseboro whizzing that ball past Marichal's nose, throwing it back to Koufax, you know. And I think he told Koufax, "You're not going to throw at this guy. I am. And when I get the ball, I'm going to throw it right past his fucking nose, you know. I suppose I could tell the story in here." "Wave after wave, I feel like I'm drowning." Oh, Jesus. How much fucking time have you been pulling your fucking wiener on this thing? Oh, only 25 minutes? Oh, well, we're fucking fine. We are fine, man. Wave after wave. Maria is upstairs. She's making stuffed mushrooms. That is my understanding. I'm given to understand that. Oh, fuck. Who the fuck is that? Mudcat Gray? No, that's Burt Blyleven? Who the fuck is this guy, this Twins pitcher? Who's the Mudcat Grant? No. Jim Cott. Is that his name, Jim Cott? Yeah, it is. Christ almighty, these guys are whack jobs.
I don't know. And then he said to me, "I think I'm going to hit a home run." And that's what he done.
Nice hair. I shouldn't talk. I have none. Oh, everything got red, man. It's all red. It's too fucked up. Help me. Oh, it's weird. It's weird. Man. Oh, fuck. Feel like I'm drowning. Wave after wave. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Wait a minute, man. That's Yastrzemski. I got a story about Yastrzemski. Guy who used to work with Steve Downs. And Steve was a, was it Steve Downs? Yeah. Steve was a great guy. I worked with him at K-West. He was my program director at K-West. He worked at Westwood One. He worked eventually at KLOS. Had a good career at KLOS. And then I went back to Chicago. And I think he started doing something other than radio. But Steve used to go down and get interviews when we worked together at Westwood One. He interviewed sports star, you know, whoever. He'd go out. That was his job. I got a fucked up looking... Hold on for a minute, man. God damn, dude. That looks just nasty as shit. And so I was doing a show called The Competitors, and I had Steve go to Angels, you know, Anaheim Stadium to interview Carl Yastrzemski. It was set up. It was ready to go. Boston Red Sox approved it. Steve could go into the dugout. Steve went into the dugout. Yastrzemski looks at him and says, "What the fuck is that?" Steve was holding a camera. He was holding a recorder, not a camera. He says, "Get that fucking camera out of here." And Steve says, "It's not. My name's Steve Downs. I'm with Westwood One. I'm supposed to interview you." He says, "I don't give a fuck. Get that case. It's not a camera. Just get it out of here." That was it. Turned around, came back. And from that day forward, as far as Steve Downs was concerned, Carl Yastrzemski is a fucking piece of shit. And you can't blame him. You know what they say, first impressions. Believe me, I've learned my lesson there, man. I mean, I know I've given some bad first impressions. And I felt bad for Steve, and I said, "Geez, I'm sorry." I didn't even bother to reschedule. I said, "Fuck him. You know, we don't need to talk to him." And we just moved on. But it was kind of a disappointment for both of us because we were both big fans of his, being baseball fans. Yeah, Carl Yastrzemski, this is going to be cool. And Steve was looking forward to it. And this motherfucker just, you know, kind of behaved badly. All right. What am I doing here, man? What's happening? Sound effect, explosion, and then we're going to... Okay, that's good enough. I know what I wanted to do. I want that sound of being out. It's a phone bed. And it's like a crying room. Windy outside. Wave after wave. Generic. It's not really a phone bed, though. You know, I'll just use it in the... I'll just use it in kind of low level, I guess, yeah. And then, like this.
You know, that's right, Bill. And, you know, it's important when you're playing tennis and learning a kid to do all them things. It's important to learn a kid the right way. I try to learn my kid the good way of doing it, of doing everything. You can't talk well. Bullshit, man. I know how to talk. I'm just kind of nervous being on your show. I'm sure you understand.
Maybe we need that, do we?
No, we don't, do we? We don't. No. No. Tell me, Mr. Kaplan. We don't need that now, do we? No, we don't. We don't need the EQ on shit, man.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.